Hello.
That's it. That's the intro right there. Welcome back to Through Imperialize. We're here to talk about Star Wars news, all things Star Wars, all the time. I'm your host, Braden Ledbetter.
I'm your co-host, Jackson Deline.
And how are you, Jackson? How are you on this fine Wednesday afternoon?
Well, while it is my day off, I'm actually homesick.
Gross.
I have food poisoning from eating bad cheese at Subway.
Bad cheese?
Yeah.
What cheese did you get?
Provolone.
You can get bad provolone?
I guess.
Like moldy?
Well, I don't know. So I essentially ate Subway. I had a really basic sandwich. I had a turkey sandwich, you know, just turkey,
yeah,
provolone.
It's the go-to.
The easy. Yeah. $3.99 sub of the day. Yeah, it was easy. Within the hour, I am not having a good time. And it got to the point that I ended up leaving work and coming home, and I've just been having what we call the Hershey squirts for the past 24 hours. I'm hoping it's going to be, I've been feeling better. I'm much more energized. I woke up at like 4 a.m. this morning. I was like dizzy and I was sweaty and I was just like,
you're drinking a lot of water.
Yeah. I was like, where's the bathroom? So, I've just been drinking a lot of water and eating very lightly today and hanging out, but
just stick with the crackers. Yeah.
So other than that, I'm chilling. Star Wars wise, I finished Bloodline, which fantastic. We'll be talking about that soon.
Sweet.
I have started physically reading Heir to the Empire, probably about 5 chapters into that. And then simultaneously, I am also listening to the audiobook of Revenge of the Sith.
Now, are you doing that on, is that on Audible?
Yeah, so okay. my sister apparently used it for a little while and had some leftover credits. Mm-hmm. So I got Revenge of the Sith and The Tempest Runner that just came out yesterday.
I'm gonna have to get that.
At the time of recording it. So, and that's only like 6 hours. I can pound that in a work day.
Yeah, only 6 hours, yeah.
Yeah, literally. Yeah, there's sirens blaring. Oh, here they come.
Oh, we like that.
I didn't know if it could pick it up or not. Anyway, yeah, so it's been very enjoyable. We'll talk about probably both
of
those.
I think they're coming for you, Jackson.
It's a fire truck. There he goes. And that's called the Doppler effect, folks, where
I think they actually knew that we were about to start recording this podcast.
They were like,
get
their going. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, cool. I think in my Star Wars life, I think my new thing with books and Star Wars books now is going to be audiobooks, because I haven't read Bloodline in probably, I don't know, probably about a year. So it's like I didn't really remember or grasp a lot of the things that I read a year ago. So I just wanted to reread it. So I planned on reading it. I read like the first chapter. I was like, man, this is going to take forever, isn't it? And I went on Audible, because you're talking about you're listening to Revenge of the Sith. I was like, you know what? I'm going to go on Audible and I'm going to get a membership and I'm just going to go get Bloodline and listen to it. I pounded through it in 3 days. So I'm very surprised at how easy it is to just sit and listen to. Yeah. Just sit and listen to an audiobook. It's just because I've always liked the feeling of having a book in my hand and being able to turn the pages and reread things.
There's something physically about it, it's all in your imagination, but like, it's like a little play. Like,
yeah, because I think with the Star Wars audiobooks, they like have the background music, they have all the sound effects, the narrators put together all the little voices and stuff.
Did yours have a different cast, or was it one person doing different voices?
There was different cast for certain people. So like if it was a man,
it was just one.
It was some
guy doing it. Okay.
It was some voice actor, but it was a woman who was narrating it. But she also did Joff Seastrucker's voice. She did Han Solo's voice.
Oh, that's
she did
funny.
Ransom's voice. Like all the main characters, she does. But like a lot of the different side characters and like droids and stuff, or some other guy, like Rin Riven Die, I believe it's with how they pronounced it.
The Markian Row, Martian Row.
Yeah. The guy who was the voice of Rin Riven Die sounded like Werner Herzog. I would like to see the baby.
He sounded like Dracula.
Yeah.
Little audio thing he sent me.
But I really, really enjoyed this audiobook.
That's
and I think I'm going to probably get Tempest Runner and you know,
yeah,
knock through that.
I've heard the cast for Tempest Runner is really good. My Revenge of the Sith is just this one guy. It's Jonathan Payne, Jonathan Pryor, I think is his. I can't remember what it was. Jonathan something. But he just does different voices, and it's really funny because some of them are really good and some of them are rather difficult, which, like, I get it. Like, you do the best of what you got, but, like, his Count Dooku, spot on. Mm. Like, to the point that I was like, oh, I was like, that's so good. But then, like, his Yoda is, like, a really, like, do not. And you're like, oh, no. You're like, you can do it, buddy. No, it's
like great
fun.
Value Yoda.
Yeah, literally. The General Grievous is just like, he's just got like a little like robot modulator on, but then he just talks like this.
That's funny. So, well, it was probably also produced in like 2005, 2006,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, like right when it all first.
So, well, cool. Fun. Other than that, not much else going on in my neck of the woods, Star Wars wise.
Oh, you know what? We didn't talk about, you see it?
Oh, yes. Let's talk about that.
So, obviously, I work at Goodwill. And our Halloween boxes has come. It's Halloween time at Goodwill. Goodwill is very big with Halloween. And the first day, they're going through the boxes and they find a Darth Vader voice changer helmet. And it was just the base helmet. It wasn't the back, like, the back top piece of it, you know?
Right.
But it's so funny. They always come to me now when they find Star Wars stuff and they're like, is this worth something? And I was like, that depends on how old it is. I was like, because if that's, you know, from 2010 or whatever, it's not going to really matter. But if it's from like Revenge of the Sith time, it could. And they read it and it said 2004. And I was like, yeah, actually. I was like, you could probably put a $20 sticker on that. I go, if you find the top piece. And they go, oh, they go, well, we just found this. And I was like, all right. So they put 15 on it, put it in the case, and no one bought it. And it was just sitting there for a couple of days. And I was like, I won't get it unless they find the top piece. So I'm walking out of work. And as I'm walking towards it, I look kind of like in the case from down the hall. And I see it still there. And I'm like, it doesn't have the top. And as I'm drifting up, I see the top piece sitting on top of the case. And it's got its own little sticker on it. And I was just like, oh.
Did someone find it and put it up there or something?
I guess they found it like later on in the box, which I'm actually kind of shocked about. Like if they didn't find it in the first big case, like the big cube, we call them maximizers.
Yeah.
You know, if it wasn't in that, it had to be, it couldn't have been in a different one. It sure enough was.
Well, I was going to say, no one would have bought it without complete helmet.
No, and funny enough, no one did. And I'm shocked that it was actually still sitting there when I did buy it.
Yeah.
So I jumped right on it. It's sitting on my shelf right here. The little modulator voice pack is tucked under it, so I just have that helmet.
Man, that helmet's actually really big.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
So I used to have that helmet. I think I talked about that when we did our Star Wars Day podcast day episode. But that helmet is so big, and I used to wear it all the time. And it was like a big jack-o'-lantern size on my head. Like, it's so big. And it has a little microphone in there, and you can, like, modulate your voice.
Microphone, and, like, I put it on. It started touching my lips, and I was just like, It's like, this is gross. I was like, I gotta take this off.
You have rabies now, for sure.
It still works. It totally breathes, and it does.
That's awesome. Because all it needs is a battery change, usually.
Yeah, no, literally. But, no, it's fresh as day. It totally works. I just gave it a clean, gave it a shine.
Yeah.
It kills me. Looks great. This is too short. Like the bottom of the helmet doesn't drape down long enough.
Yeah, it's a toy. It was like $30 in 2004, 2005.
Yeah, and they still sell it for that amount. I was looking at it up on eBay, and people were still selling it. So it's cool. So anyway, let's hop into this news today. Here. Yeah. So we've got just a couple stories today, but we're gonna start off. Speaking of Darth Vader, a exclusive little article thing came out that had images and details talking about Hayden Christensen's return as Darth Vader in the Obi-Wan Kenobi show. So from Star Wars News Net, which, you know, they're the top dogs.
That's right.
They released these images that essentially kind of broke it down and then discussed kind of their thoughts about what they think it could be about. The biggest thing that we see is it's kind of a sketch rendering of Hayden Christensen. Think of the scene in Rogue One when he's in the big Bacta tank. That's kind of the whole theme of it all, is the Bacta tank. But it's Hayden, and he's got, you know, this, like, you know, breather mask on. He's got like, you know, bolts and stuff in him. He's totally bald and he's kind of hanging in this back to tank. And that's the main kind of image. Everything else is set pieces and like prop design. So you kind of see the design of the like mask he wears. And it's kind of like this half face mask that it's just for his breathing apparatus.
It's like a
apparatus.
Respirator
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's the word I was trying to find. And the other one is the back to tank, but you don't see, it's just like the big back to like set that he has. So it yeah, leads so me to...
No, sorry, the back to tank and the prop, those two were artist renderings from someone who saw it on set and described it to an artist, and the artist drew it. And the photo of Hayden, I believe, is a piece of concept art for the show.
Yeah, and it's a lot of it's heavily inspired from what we saw in Rogue One. Yeah, it leads me to believe we're going to see a lot of more Vader's castle.
I think we will see Hayden in Vader's castle, which will be really cool.
Yeah, I think it will be really cool. Do you think that final, that big conclusive fight will be on Mustafar? You think it'll be in Vader's castle?
How cool would that be if it was back
the
in
rematch is back on Mustafar?
Yeah, but this time Vader has the high ground.
Yeah, right.
I think that would be, you just gave me a little nerdgasm right there.
Yeah, that's a big probability too. That's gonna be cool.
But even if they just face off on like a ship or something, like that would
anything.
Still be cool.
Yeah, literally, it's gonna be. It's
I
gonna
just,
be
I'm so
life.
Curious how they're gonna deal with, Kenobi getting off Tatooine, or like how they're even gonna meet again, or what's I don't know. And that's why I'm so excited. I don't know.
I bet you he'll get like captured. Like something will happen that it exposes himself as a Jedi, and he gets taken, and the Empire, like someone calls the Empire on him, and he gets taken, and then they figure out that it's Obi-Wan, and they tell Vader, and then that brings in Vader, and then however what conundrums happen and go on, Kenobi gets out of it, and it just goes back to Tatooine.
I'm almost kind of worried that it will. The moment we get of them reuniting in A New Hope won't feel as earned if you know, they have this big duel again, like, you know, 10 years before A New Hope happened. It hasn't been that long then. So yeah, I don't, it'll be interesting to see how they deal with it. 'Cause I really don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Because there's no wrong way to do it, but there's also no right way to do it. So
I always think about the line of, you know, when I left you, I was the novice, but now I am the master.
Yeah.
And you always think that's Mustafar. But then what if you consider it if, like, it's this next fight we're about to see, and it's when Vader is still very inexperienced? I don't know. 10 years being Vader, like...
Yeah.
Feel like he's got something, but I could see like he still has this uncontrollable rage, you know, and seeing Obi-Wan only has to spark that because that man put him in the suit, you know.
Yeah, or I'm wondering if it's not quite a saber duel.
I kind of thought about that too. Is there, you know, diverging our expectations of what it, you know,
like could it be something through the Force? Or, you know, could it be, you know, not a physical duel, but more of a, I don't know, just some kind of confrontation that doesn't involve physical battle. But who knows? I there's 1,000 avenues to take with this kind of situation. So I'm just excited to see where it's going to take us. Because I don't know.
Absolutely stellar either way.
It better be.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah. Well, cool. Let's move on. Speaking of Kenobi, he's got a little bit of news here. Here's kind of just a roundup of some of the actors that have wrapped filming for Obi-Wan Kenobi. So as we know, Rupert Friend has recently wrapped filming, along with Indira Varma has wrapped, Song Kang and O'Shea Jackson Jr. have all variously been confirmed that they have indeed wrapped for Obi-Wan Kenobi. But here's the interesting thing. Is the New York Times posted an interview with Moses Ingram, who, you know, she's been posting all the lightsaber stuff on Instagram. She's been rumored to be this Inquisitor. And this interview was conducted while she was on her way to set for the Kenobi series, which is, you know, this interview took place like last week. So this is fresh. So it essentially confirms that she is still shooting for the Kenobi show. So, and there was a, I believe it was a Variety article or something like that, that was talking about Moses Ingram having a pretty prominent role in the show. And I think this essentially confirms that, yeah, she's going to have a pretty big role in the show. And additionally, another report posted last week suggests that more scenes are supposed to be shot this week. They're probably wrapping this month. And, you know, a lot of the supporting cast is obviously wrapped. So it looks like the last kind of bits they're filming here include Ewan and Hayden and Moses Ingram. So, yeah, it looks like that we're coming to a close on filming here with Kenobi. But Moses Ingram is essentially
still doing stuff.
I think she's going to be like a main Inquisitor character.
I think so as well. Yeah.
I think she kind of has to be with all this lightsaber stuff she's posting with her, you know, being as not wrapping as early as the rest of the supporting cast. So
do you think she's going to play an Inquisitor we've seen before?
Or do I don't know.
You think she will be someone new?
I do not know.
How many Inquisitors are there? And how many have we seen in some sort of media?
I couldn't tell you.
There's either like 17 or 23. Those are the numbers that come in my head. Those are the numbers that come in my head.
Yeah. Well, either way, you know, even if she isn't an Inquisitor, I think that she is going to be wielding a lightsaber. It's kind of confirmed.
There are at least 11 known Inquisitors in Darth Vader's Inquisitoris.
Oh, so you were wrong.
I was very wrong.
Twice.
That's all right.
We all make mistakes here. That's what's beautiful about Star Wars. You can make a mistake.
And we just move forward.
And it's okay. You just move forward. You trust in the Force.
Trust in the Force. Exactly.
That's right. But what do you kind of think of all this? What do you think of Moses Ingram and...
I can totally see her being... this kind of totally goes with what I just said about, like, they find Kenobi and then they realize he's a Jedi. And then I bet you it's Moses Ingram is this Inquisitor that finds him. And
like they send her to hunt him down.
She's the one that takes him to Vader. Yeah. Because they think it's some Jedi and then they realize, oh, it's Obi-Wan. Or she becomes like obsessed with, like he gets away, but she becomes obsessed with like trying to get him to prove to Vader.
And yeah, then,
we don't see Obi-Wan and Vader until the very end of.
She like is trying to prove herself to Vader or something,
yeah.
Or like get like on his good side or back on his good side, and like the way to do that is bringing him a Jedi. Yeah, that could be really sick, man. We're pretty much writing this show, honestly. Yeah, at this point,
let's just make it, man.
Yeah.
Like,
let's do it, and I bet we'll finish it before
Deborah,
Kenobi comes out.
To the punch, we'll be uploading this to Disney Plus.
What's my Disney Plus login? I need to create a channel on Disney Plus. Subscribe to my Disney Plus channel. Yeah, very very exciting things happening over in the world of Kenobi. But what is going on next?
My boy Robert Rodriguez is hyping up his new gig. So the Book of Boba Fett's coming out soon, right? We've got like less than 200 days for it to come out. It's really like 180 something, I think. Robert Rodriguez talked about his new involvement and his baby on the Book of Boba Fett, which will be premiering this December 2021. We don't know exactly when in December. We just know December. Rodriguez talks about, I'll give the actual quote in a second, but he really talks about how this is everything dialed up to like 11. He says it's brutal, it's much more kind of hardcore, and it's very different from the kinds of stories we've seen from The Mandalorian. So, quote, I can't say anything about it at all right now, but it's coming out in December. Wait until you see what's coming, it's going to blow your mind. That's all I can say. I can talk it up all I want because I know it over-delivers. It way over-delivers. People are going to be so pumped when they see it, end quote. I think over-delivers means it's just going to be brutal. Like, I think a lot of people have kind of seen, you know, Boba Fett's whole turn in The Mandalorian is now he's this good guy. I don't think that means he's going to be morally good, though. I think the man's just going to be just blasting his way through everything.
I think we could be getting John Wick Star Wars with Boba Fett.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And knowing that they're going back in time and we're seeing younger Boba Fett, like, it's going to be ruthless. Like, it's going to be just absolutely chaotic. And knowing Robert Rodriguez and the stuff that he's made, you know, Machete and he made a
Spy Kids.
Battle Angel, Spy Kids. Yeah, exactly. yeah, no, it's going to be killer. I'm very, very, very excited for it. It'll be absolutely.
Do you think there, who do you think besides, obviously, we've got, you know, Ming-Na Wen, we've got Boba. Who do you think else you think we'll see pop up in this show?
I think we'll see some Jabba the Hutt. I think we'll go back in time and see some Jabba.
You think we're doing the flashback?
Yeah,
they did kind of confirm that we'll be seeing like the Empire era.
Yeah,
we'll kind of be jumping back.
I don't think we'll see a lot, but I would be cool if we saw some Vader, we saw like Boba's early involvement Empire.
Would it be? We've talked about this. How cool would it be if they adapted a little bit of that War of the Bounty Hunters comic?
That's kind of what I'm thinking too, is like you talk about like, like the pivotal moments of when he gets to Jabba and like when he takes him and all that. Yeah. No, I agree. I am curious if we'll see Mando in it.
I think if we do, it'll be like a nod.
Hey, I'm the Mandalorian.
Yeah.
Watch my show next year.
It's like one of those Captain America post-credit scenes. He comes out.
Yeah.
So you want to watch the Mandalorian season 3.
So this is the way, huh?
Yeah. Do you think it's possible we'll see an adult Omega?
In Book of Boba Fett?
Yeah.
No, not yet.
I don't think so either.
I don't think so. You know, we could talk about this now. I've been seeing some like weird Twitter rumors talking about how they might change the Mandalorian's name after season 4. Is essentially rework the concept of the show to be kind of this general basis show. Instead of it focusing highly on the Mandalorian, but the Mandalorian is kind of the setup point for it. but I'm thinking if they do that,
are you meaning like not Din Djarin?
Like Din would be included into it, but like I kind of picture it like let's concept like season 3 is the war for Mandalore. They get back Mandalore. And then season 4 is like you probably wrap up the Grogu stuff. And then the show shifts to kind of be. This is not what the rumor is, but this is kind of how I'm taking it of like, then it becomes about the people of Mandalore and it like becomes this, like it's Din and all of the group, but that's the show. It's them as Mandalore reestablishing themselves. It's all rumors. I don't know. I don't even know where it started from, but I keep seeing different stuff of it. And I'm like, that's kind of interesting to think about, but I don't know if they would go ahead with it, but I think if they did something like that, that's when you could introduce an older Omega. I think we need to see more of younger Omega in the Bad Batch and then really kind of develop all of that until we get, it's kind of like Ahsoka. We developed all of that before.
We also don't even know Omega's fate in the Bad Batch.
Yeah. Exactly.
So, I think I can see the Bad Batch ending something like the Rebels ending where you kind of flash forward a few years and you get, you know, all of them, like how they ended up in the future and here. Yeah. Which reminds me, man, Ahsoka is also kind of close too. I think they're supposed to be shooting next year. Anyway, let's kind of get to this last story here. Speaking of the Mandalorian, they won some awards over at the HGA TV Awards. The Mandalorian was awarded the grand prize of best streaming service, best streaming series drama. Which, you know, it's like the highest honor of at that award, like the best grand prize. I don't know if you watched their Jon Favreau and Filoni acceptance speech.
I saw the screenshot of it, but I haven't seen a video.
So they accepted the award through a pre-recorded video shot from their houses, obviously. And in the speeches, Filoni thanks Kathleen Kennedy for her support and George Lucas for creating the galaxy far, far away we all love. And Favreau thanked the HCA, Lucasfilm, Disney Plus, their families, their reps, and especially the audience. I just think it's so cool that out of all of the shows, like all the fan favorites, like we had like Handmaid's Tale and all like the big ones.
Yeah.
This one over all that, I think that's pretty cool. That's pretty neat. So it's good to see Star Wars.
It's a show stuff that really brought kind of the joy of and magic of Star Wars back.
Well, even for the people who worked on it, like you can see from them that Disney Gallery episode they just released, like it's a big deal.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
you know, it's, I think it is. So I'm not one of these people, but there are a lot of people who have kind of lost their faith in Star Wars because of the sequels, which, you know, I do not hold that sentiment, but I know that there are people who feel like that. So I think The Mandalorian has done a great job at bringing a lot of people who lost their faith back into the realm and giving Star Wars some appreciation, because, you know, as a lot of people say, no one hates Star Wars more than Star Wars fans. And I want that sentiment to be no more, especially with a lot of this new stuff we have coming out. I think a lot more people are going to be a lot happier with a lot of the content that's coming out. So
it's funny you say that. I was talking to, you know, our friend JJ, and I sent him a tweet about all of the stuff that's coming out. And he even said, he goes, I know I gave it a lot of crap, but like, I'm very excited for all of these projects. So yeah, you're totally right. I think they are taking it in a direction that has really brought the magic back to Star Wars and has given a lot of people just that want to watch.
Yeah. And I would say more so the people who are not a fan of the sequels and, you know, what they did with the story. And, you know, I'm not really referring to the people who just bash the sequels because that's the cool thing to do. I'm talking about people who legitimately just like straight up
despise
just people who it just wasn't for them. They weren't feeling it. And that was it. And they actually want to have an open and honest conversation about it instead of just saying, no, you just have a bad opinion. The sequel sucked. So I think, you know, The Mandalorian allows people to appreciate Star Wars in a way that we have not seen before, because this is our first live action, you know, show we've gotten.
Yeah.
And it's spoken to a lot of people, and I think it's good that it's being recognized on a level like this. So that's all I had to say there. But is there anything else you had about this whole situation with the nomination award winning?
Congrats to everybody at The Mandalorian. Yeah. That's about it.
That's about it. Well, cool. That's about all of the news we had this week. A little bit shorter of a news week. Hopefully, towards this latter half of the year, with fall coming around and everything coming out, we're gonna see some more things come out and some longer news weeks other than four stories. So
we do get Star Wars Visions this month. We're recording this on September 1st, so we'll be getting that. At the end of the month.
Yeah, a few weeks. Well, cool. If you'd like to check out our social medias, you can check us out as always on Instagram at Through Imperial Eyes Pod, on Twitter at Imperial Eyes Pod, and of course on YouTube. Also stay tuned to our YouTube, because we're going to be doing some fun stuff over there too as well, at Through Imperial Eyes Podcast. Jackson, where can they find you?
As always, you can find me on Twitter at QuaxonScalene. It's QUACKSON and then scaling like the triangle. And then you can follow my photography Instagram, which is at Daleen_photography. It's DALEEN_photography. Braden, what about you?
And I am always on the Instagrams at Braden Ledbetter and on the Twits at Braydath Alan, I believe. And my Letterboxd is at BLedbetter. See what I'm watching, see what I'm reviewing, and, you know, see me talk about Free Guy, because I just saw that last week.
It's so good. Really?
But as always, on our Apple Podcast, make sure to leave that rating, leave that review. It really helps out the show, and it lets us know you like what we're doing. And if you don't have Apple Podcasts, please check out our Spotify, our Anchor, Overcast, whatever you got. And then check us out next week for some more news and probably another episode of Imperial Book Club, if we get a second to talk about Bloodline. That'll be our next conversation for Imperial Book Club, will be Claudia Gray's Bloodline. So stay tuned for that. And until next week, may the Force be with you.